All right. This does not look like our usual topic.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Oh,
sorry.
Great.
This week there is no... This week
topic.
There's...
That's why we keep coming.
This
what
week,
do you mean?
This
Death,
week
Parenthood.
This week there's no Parsha.
Shavuos.
There's no Parsha. Not so next week. Even though next week is Memorial Day. But whatever. But so I said, why don't we just do something? It's related to Shavuos because...
Milk
and meat. Okay. This is a question that is, on the one hand, known to like every person in the, right? If you are a person who's involved in the Orthodox world, you know about waiting between meat and milk. But I would say that even though it is one of the more well-known concepts, at least in the Orthodox world, it is probably the rationale and the behind the scenes as to why this is very not well known, I think, for a lot of people. So I thought we'd do an experiment this week and talk about a halakhic topic. And if you like it, great. If you don't like it, that's fine too. But I figured give it a shot. So Rona's really excited about this topic. And let's see. If you like it, don't like it. But we'll see. We did this actually in Smichas Chava, actually, with the guys last month. And the guys are, like, people were very into it because, like, everyone knows about this, but. There's a lot, and there's also practical stuff that, you know, questions that come up. So let's get started right from the beginning, okay? Where does this idea of waiting between meat and milk, where does it come from? The Gemara in Maseches Chulin says the following. Actually, Daf Yomi is now learning Chulin. So the Gemara says that, so they're going to get there in like, I don't know, 80 Daf or something. Gufa, Amar Rav Chisda, it comes fast in Daf Yomi. Gufa, Amar Rav Chisda. Achal Basar, Rav Chisda says the following. If you ate meat, Asr L'Achol Gvina. You now are forbidden from eating
cheese.
Gvina, but if you ate cheese, mutar lecho basar. You are now permitted to eat
meat.
Okay. What about hard cheese? Maybe we'll get to that later on, maybe not. Amalei Rav Acha bar Yosef, Rav Chisda, basar shebeit hashinayimo. Rav Acha bar Yosef said to Rav Chisda, what if the person has meat between their teeth? Does that count as eating meat? So kariyalei habasar odenu ben shinehem. So the Torah, when it talks about the case of the Jewish people who are complaining, they wanted meat. And so what's the meat that Hashem sends to them? Slav, right? It's like
quail.
Actually, when I went in January, I went to the Biblical Museum in Beit Shemesh. They have quail. It was so cool. They're like these very like little, they're like circular. Birds. They're like what's more unique about them is that they're shaped like a bowling ball. Mm-hmm. like a little bowling ball, not a big bowling ball. But anyways, if you're very hungry, then you can understand why you want to eat them. But anyways, the point is there when they are the people, they eat the quail and then they die. But the Torah says habasar odenu ben shinehem. The meat was still between the teeth. What does that mean about the status of meat when it's between your teeth? It's still called
meat.
Okay, it's still called meat. So we're going to see why that matters. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says in source number 2, asr l'chol gvina, if I eat meat, I can't eat cheese. Why not? Well, let's back up for 1 second. What is the isser? What should be the problem? Why should I not be allowed to eat milk after eating meat? Why?
Because you can't cook a kid in his mother's milk.
Good, because I can't cook a kid in his mother's milk. What does one have to do with the other?
There's like a big jump here to this.
Yes. Meaning what?
We skipped a few of the
Right. We say, 3 times the Torah says, don't cook a kid in his mother's milk. Which, by the way, doesn't just mean that. It means a much more expansive thing. Anyways, it's meat and milk in general. Kosher species of meat with kosher species of milk, let's say. But those 3 times it says it, the Gemara tells us is, one, you can't eat it. One, you can't cook it. And one, you can't get benefit from it. Right? But also that whole rule, the only time it's usher to eat meat and milk, midaraisa, according to Torah, is if it's been cooked together, hot, right? If I would take a salami and cheese sandwich, I'm assuming you don't eat salami hot, right? Salami and cheese sandwich, that's not basar b'chalav midaraisa. You would never do that, midarabanan, you're not allowed to do that. From rabbinically, you're not allowed. But that's not usher midaraisa, because the only usher midaraisa of meat and milk is if the two are cooked together, okay? Fine. So now if I eat, so that's fine. So we say not only now, so midrabanan chazal say, so also don't eat them cold together. Fine. But this is not about, this is way different. Right? This is, if I ate meat, now I can't eat milk afterwards, right? And the question is like, what is the concern here? Mm-hmm. What's the concern? Okay? So we're already way, way, way far away from the Issa D'Oraisa. We find in many areas of Basra B'Chalav, by the way, because Basra B'Chalav is like, there's a zillion different reasons Chazal give for this Issa Basra B'Chalav. It's insensitive, or but the bottom line is like, it's considered a very, like, found it. Some say it has its underpinnings in Avodah Zarah, even. That was like Avodah Zarah food was Basra B'Chalav. But like, if you ask any, right, even many non-Orthodox Jews, right, still say, I won't eat meat and milk, right? But they don't eat bacon, I say, right? But I don't eat meat and milk, I say, right? Because like, it's like a known thing. It's like this fundamental concept in Judaism, even though,
yeah.
I don't know, you know, it's not, you know, there are worse things to do in terms of the issue that, you know, this is the right side, you shouldn't do it. But it's seen as like this very fundamental thing. And we find in many areas, like for example, we use different tablecloths for both meat and milk. We're pretty extreme dine derabanan to get us not even close to Basra B'Chalav, right?
Multiple sets of dishes.
Sets of dishes, you know, all the things that we do that are really pretty significant, right? I was maybe going to talk about ovens today. But like, right, also like ovens, all these types of things, dishwashers, right? We're very careful about these halachos. Part of that is because we have a rule of tam ke'ikar, that if you have even the tam of something, the taste of it in something, it's like the item itself. So if I have a meat pot and I cook something, you know, macaroni and cheese in there, we assume that the meat taste comes out. So the taste by itself matters. But the bottom line is, it's still very, very, it's still pretty far removed. So we're not talking about a derech. So this is not a Torah level iser. This is a rabbinic iser, right? And we're going to have to see, like, why? What do we care? Why? What do we care about this so much? Why does it matter so much? Fine. So now let's go to Rashi. So Rashi says in source number 2. Sorry, that was like background that we should have started with. Rashi says in source number 2. Asa l'chol gvina. If I eat meat, I can't eat milk. Why? I can't eat cheese. Why? Mishum de basar motzi shuman. Because meat has a lot of
fat,
right? V'hu nidbak bepeh. Umarich betamo. It gets nidbak, it gets stuck in your mouth, and the taste lingers for a long time. Right? Lingers for a long time. Okay, fine. So what?
But that doesn't
answer. So how does that answer my question? How does that answer our question?
It does not.
What would you say? What's the answer then? Fine. So because of that, so then if I eat meat, I can't eat milk.
So then the cheese is going to taste like meat, and then it's like you're having meat and cheese.
Good. So one possibility is, if the taste of the meat hangs out in my mouth for a long time, right? So then if I, the assumption is that it's not like you ate meat. Even this Gemara doesn't assume that if you ate meat, you can never eat milk ever again, right? There's going to be some amount of time it's going to have to, at some point it's going to end, right? But for a certain amount of time, I'm not allowed to eat milk because what's going to happen? The taste of the meat is still hanging out in there. And we mentioned before that taste of something matters a lot, actually. It's still considered like the thing itself. And so what, if I go ahead and I drink a coffee with milk that's hot, and I have brisket, this is a very graphic cheer, sorry, like schmutz hanging out of my mouth, I'm not gonna make Basra B'Chalav in my mouth. That's not really gonna happen, probably, right? That'd be pretty difficult. I mean, it's possible if you literally, I don't know why I was talking about this, with somebody, the Rambam says you're not supposed to say, when you see like non-kosher, you're not supposed to say ich. You're supposed to say, no, it's delicious, but Hashem said no. So someone asked me recently, like, what would you want to have if you could have non-kosher? Like, what would you choose? So I was like, I don't know. I don't think I'd want like McDonald's. It's fast food. It's gross. Mm-hmm. But I do like. I kind of like the idea of like a cheeseburger with like a milk, like a strawberry milkshake. Like the way non-Jews do, right?
I haven't thought about this at all.
That's like very geschmack.
The diner in Muncie.
What?
The diner in Muncie has that.
They do that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But with like Impossible Burgers or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
No, it's place.
Whatever, place. But so yeah, so that, to me, that's very appealing. So in theory, just to be fair, in theory, if you would eat a hamburger hot, and then you would like have milkshake, that'd be pretty close, right? You wouldn't, you know, probably wouldn't be hot enough to really make Basra B'Chalav, but like it's pretty close, right? So I guess that's like, that could be part of what Rashi's saying. The taste of a hamburger doesn't just hang out in your mouth for a little bit, it stays there for a long time. You eat a steak, it hangs out for a while, right? It's like very strong. And therefore, I can't eat it afterwards. Is it gonna make Basra B'Chalav mid-daraisa? No, but it's close enough that it makes us uncomfortable and we gotta wait a little while before we have both of those things in our mouth at the same time. Fine. We're gonna see this on not the only reason though. We also mentioned this idea, Basar Shebein Hashinayim, right, next line there. What is the status of the meat that's between your teeth? Mi chashiv basar, is that considered meat shalolech al gvina imo achit lenu, meaning that you shouldn't, why do I care if it's meat or not? Because if there's meat, if that's considered meat, then what should I do? I shouldn't be allowed to eat cheese until I
remove it.
Get it out of my teeth, right? Use a, I don't know what they used to use then, but toothpick or whatever you do is to get that meat out of there, right? Because I'm not going to have a milkshake if I have, or a hot coffee with milk, if I have meat hanging out of my teeth, okay? So what's the answer? Well, that's called a basar odenu, meaning alma mikri basar. It's called basar, fine. Okay, so look at the Rambam in source number 3. The Rambam says, Misha acha basar betchila, bein basar behema, bein basar of, lo yocha acharav chalav, ad shiye beinehem kedei shir studa acheres. We're going to get to the question of how long in a second. We're going to get to that next. But the Rambam says if you had meat, you can't have milk. Why? Until you get to the time that it takes to get to the next meal. V'hu kamo sheh sha'os. We're going to see this idea of 6 hours. He says that's about 6 hours. Min p'nei ha-basar shebein ha-shinayim. She'ein osar b'kinuach. Because, and what's the reason the Rambam says? Because there is still going to be meat between your teeth, which you can't just get out. Okay, you have to give. So the Rashi says, so we have two reasons so far. One reason, says Rashi, is because I still have this strong taste of meat hanging out of my mouth. Okay? The second reason, says the Rambam, is no. It's not because the taste is in your mouth, but because there's actually meat hanging out of my teeth, in my teeth. If I have meat actually in my teeth, and I drink, warm milk before going to sleep, I'm going to actually have meat and milk in my mouth. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's a reasonable concern for Isra, that is a serious thing. Yes? Yeah, maybe? Okay. Fine. Who cares? But the reason is. Well, okay, the reason is. So the Torah actually gives two nafkaminas, two practical differences. I'll tell you what they are. Number one, he says, what about the following? Let's say, I don't think we ever did this, but maybe moms did. Do you ever, like, your kid, your baby, like a little kid needs to eat something, it's like very hard to eat, so you chew it for them a little and then you give it to them to eat?
Mommy birds do that.
Mommy birds do that. Yeah, I understand. Like, mommy birds do that.
In my nest,
but I don't know any mommy humans who do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know, maybe they do.
I didn't do that.
It's not very hygienic.
Why?
But okay, but the Chazal talk about...
I do that to cut grapes.
To cut grapes?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Don't chew them.
It's not the type of thing I would do.
You chew it.
I'd be like, I don't know, chew it yourself. I don't know, it's not like my... I don't know, but whatever, you cut it up into little pieces.
Yeah.
But in theory, if a person would chew for someone else and not eat it, so if you're Rashi, do you care? Do you still have to wait?
Yes, it's in your
teeth. So the Rambam cares about food in your teeth. He said, yeah, you still have food in your teeth.
Rashi cares about
Rashi cares about the taste. So maybe you'd argue, for Rashi, I don't care so much, okay? What if I waited 6 hours and I still have meat between my teeth?
Like, I would think that's a problem, because that's a problem for Rambam,
So the Torah wants to argue, according to the Rambam says the purpose of the 6 hours is to get rid of to get that out of there. Point being, that's what you waited for. If it's still there, at that point, it's already, like, it's been so long.
So let's say, like, okay, you know a deli burp?
A deli burp?
Yeah.
I've never heard the word, but from what you're describing, I feel like I might relate to such a
thing. Okay, like you have a deli sandwich
yes.
at night, you brush your teeth, you floss, you go to bed.
Some call it chillin' burp.
It's been 12 hours, and then you burp, or you have acid reflux in the middle of the night, and it tastes like salami or pastrami.
The next morning.
Yeah, yes, and Rashi says you should.
It's the opposite of the chillin' smell when you wake up in the morning, Shabbos morning.
No, well, when I have the chillin' smell, I'm like, can I have a bowl of cereal right now?
Right.
I feel like
you feel like you're full of meat right. Yeah, in your house.
Like dental care, so like
Stephanie
has like dental floss and stuff. So
good.
Still have to wait several hours.
Good. Okay. Right. So let's
mouthwash.
See.
Mouthwash.
Mouthwash.
You don't have that.
Good. 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 Good.
That's why.
One
hour after the.
No, he's not.
I don't know.
He's not.
He's not.
If I want you to be my friend, then maybe.
Even for Shalom,
you won't have to take
it.
Oh yeah, Michelle's your favorite topic.
Right. Exactly. Okay. I asked really recently. I can't believe I missed the first few minutes.
Don't worry. You're in. Don't worry. You're in. Fine. So fine. So, but Rashi would say, right, that's the Torah, or some argue that this is actually two separate things. One is having the taste in your mouth, you have to wait, and the separate isser, you can't have meat between your teeth, because that's, how can you have meat between your teeth? You need milk. It's two different, according to Rashi, it's two separate things. But yeah.
Technically, if you brush your teeth, it would solve both of these problems.
It would, technically it would. Right, and you're saying if that's true, I shouldn't need to wait at all.
It's in your
right
mouth.
Good, good, excellent. So, let's see if you're right. Let's find out. You know you're not right. That's okay. Well, no, you are right. You are right. Let's. We have to understand why you're not right.
Then I won't have like a place.
It's a good reason. I'm not going to say in here that you need to have two toothbrushes. Okay, just kidding. Okay. Fine. Take a look. Take.
Could you? He's joking.
There's no. There's some people I know.
There really are
two toothbrushes. There's no such thing. Meaning yes, you don't have to worry.
For those of you who don't know.
What a home run. Oh my God.
My parents still use two toothbrushes.
You don't have to worry. That's not, you don't have to do that.
Not happy with me.
I just made a joke because we're talking about it. Okay.
It makes sense. Because they're all two buzzing.
Okay. Good. Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to ignite another controversy.
No.
Okay, take a look at the Gemara source number 5. But fine. But we just, all we said was, after you eat milk, you can't, after you eat meat, you can't eat milk. Until something. We didn't explain how long. Okay, so that's another Gemara, source number 5. Gemara source number 5 is the Gemara Chulin, also Chulin, Daf Kof Hei, which has a different, which is right near the same place. The Rambam said, but that Rambam, who we quoted because we just needed to quote him, is quoting based on this Gemara. Okay. And this Gemara is a big source of controversy in the Rishonim, and this is what I love, this is why I love learning this topic, because it's, you're going to see, it is not as simple as people make it out to be. And it's very important.
In the Gemara, is it laid out like this? You just broke it down for us?
Well, let's go. Oh, okay. Take a look. Amar Marukva. Now, I don't just tell you what it says. We're going to read it together. Okay, Amar Marukva. Marukva says the following. Ana, laha milsa, chana bacharma lagabe abba. Me, on this issue of waiting between meat and milk, I am like vinegar, the son of wine, when it comes to my father. Meaning, if I'm vinegar compared to wine, I'm... not as good. I'm not as good, okay? You guys not used to that analogy? Vinegar, the son of wine? Okay, I'm like vinegar, the son of wine, meaning my father is a big tzaddik, and he's wine, I'm like vinegar, okay? So what does that mean? De'ilu Abba, my father, what would he do? Ki hava achal bistra ha'idna lo hava achal gabi gvina ad lamachar ad hashta. If he would eat bistra, meat, ha'idna, right now, lo hava achal, he wouldn't eat gvina, he wouldn't eat cheese, ad lamachar, until tomorrow, ad hashta, the same exact time. Meaning, he would check his watch and say, what time did I eat meat? Oh, it was 12:30. No problem, I can have milk tomorrow at 12:30. 24 hours. Okay, the shiur's over. You can go home to your family. 24 hours, right? Okay? 24 hours. Okay, Maruko's father would wait.
That's how he said, because 24 is not at the top.
Would wait 24 hours between meat and milk. He goes, but me, v'ilo ana, Bahasudasa hu delo achilna, lesudasa acharisa achilna. At this meal that I ate meat, I won't eat cheese. But lesudasa acharina, at the next meal, achilna, I'll eat cheese.
People probably only had meat on Shabbos anyway, so during the week.
Okay. Sometimes, okay. They certainly didn't have red meat all the time, that's for sure.
They could have had chicken or turkey.
You never know.
Some, you know, less
hot dogs, expensive. You know. I'm kidding.
Back in the day, hot dogs.
The cheap meat. Okay, so spam, whatever. But the very important piece here is that Mar Ukva says, my father was a big machmir. He waited 24 hours to eat meat and milk. Because with me, he goes, but I don't do that. What I waited, he says, is from one meal to the next.
Okay. Right, and the question is, how much time did they wait between meals at that time?
Well, that's already skipping a step. Let's go slow.
What's a meal?
What does that mean from one meal to the next? Before we see any of the Rishonim, I want to ask you, what would you say? Forget you knew 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, blah, blah, blah. You never heard of this before.
He's saying from meat to dairy.
I eat meat. I don't eat dairy until the next meal. What does that mean?
So it's like a teaneck lunch. It's like 6 hours.
Okay, but what would you say? Seriously, how would you define it?
BLD.
It's 3 meals a day.
Like, yeah, but not everybody eats 3 meals a day.
Let's go one at a time. If you said 3 meals a day,
you'd wake up, you'd eat something, right? And then you would have a midday something, and then you would eat in the
evening something. Right, fine. Right. So you'd say, so Jenny, you're saying one meal to the next, meaning the usual course of the meals of the day. Meaning that's whatever many hours, whatever that is, morning, afternoon, and night.
You didn't say the next thing you eat. You said the next meal.
The next meal you have.
Right.
Good. Okay, so Jenny, you want to say it means from meal to meal, but means the amount of time it takes between meals. Fine. We'd have to decide how long that is, but fine. Is there another way to explain this Gemara? Suda la suda, from one meal to the next? How else could you understand it?
A suda is with washing.
Okay.
Oh. A formal meal, like you would say, and whatever you call a snack or a small meal. A suda is by definition with
a meal.
And veg.
Okay, let's say, fine. And therefore?
So what you have, you don't have another suda until the next day, unless it's yontif, Shabbos or yontif. So in between, we still don't know the answer because...
Right, okay, fine. Yeah.
But that would make sense that it would be anywhere between 3 to 6 hours would be your next meal.
Okay.
So anywhere between that time would be halachically, like, between the next 3 to 6 hours would be acceptable.
Okay, and you would get number 3 and 6 from where?
Honestly,
sunrise
between,
to sunset, divide the time.
No, I would say
those,
how long it would take you from, like, let's say midday when people are regularly, right, till evening when people are regularly finishing eating a meal midday,
mm-hmm.
till evening when
12:30, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, 12:30,
5 o'clock, 6.
5 to 7 when people are sitting down for a dinner time.
Right.
When
so you'd make it 2 to 5.
2 to 6.
Okay.
Even 4 hours, right? I think you're like the 3 to 6 threshold is a good threshold.
So you're saying this seems reasonably to come out of this, Gemara. So I'm going to show you something.
I think 6
are
is
you
excessive.
Trying to get technical? Like, what was it like back then?
No, I want to show you something. I want to show you because Tosfos is going to say something that you're going to be astounded by.
But 6 is definitely excessive.
Well,
you're saying maybe like from one, like, I don't know.
Isn't Tosfos saying like change the tablecloth and then...
Take a look. Take a look at source number 6. I'm going to show you exciting opinions. I'm going to show you exciting opinions. Not that you're going to do them all the time, but to know that they exist. Take a look at source number 6. Tosfos writes in source number 6. Is the Tosfos in
running for them?
That was five.
Okay.
Go to number 6.
This is going to be my dinner time halacha.
Here we go. Okay. Rabbeinu Tam Mefarish. Rabbeinu Tam explains. V'chein halachas gedolos. The Bahak. Halachas gedolos. The acha basra acha lechol gvina. Meaning you can't, after you ate meat, you can't eat milk. Hainu below netila v'kinuach. That's if you didn't netila. What's netila?
Washing.
Netila sedayim, right? Without washing hands. And kinuach.
Dessert.
Kinuach hapeh, right? Nah. Kinuach means dessert.
Yeah.
Because it's something that you do to clean out your mouth. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's what dessert is.
Lekaneach et hapeh. Okay? That's what dessert is supposed to be. So, kinuach is meaning, Rabbeinu Tam is saying, this whole thing of waiting between meat and milk is only if you didn't wash your hands and wash your mouth.
Seems like a good
word. But if I wash my hands and wash my mouth, right? I'm good, right? I'm fine. Achal gvina, fine.
Good.
That was good.
Thank you for the sheer.
So,
Anna said, brush your teeth.
That's what you just said. Okay, fine.
No one's going to their house.
So achal gvina mutal achal basar. Af belona tili kinuach. And this idea of eating milk, then you can eat meat right away, that's even if you don't wash your hands and clean your mouth. Umar ukva de lo acha ad suda acharise, and Mar ukva who wouldn't eat till the next meal, hani belona till the kinuach. Okay, that was because he didn't wash his hands and wash his mouth out. Inami machmer al atzmahe, or he was a big machmer. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says.
Why didn't Jesus do that then?
Well, let's keep going.
Okay. He's saying
that's one approach.
Get in to wash that. So
the argument. By the way, I'm just saying. Let's just be fair for a second. Is this the most reasonable way to read the Gemara? Take your biases out for a second. Check your bias at the door. Is this the normal way to read the Gemara? If you eat meat, you can't eat milk until when? Sudas Acharisa, the next meal. What's the simple way to read that Gemara? You have to wait till the next meal.
Yeah.
Not if like you didn't brush your teeth. Is... Like, who's talking about brushing your teeth and washing it? No one's talking about that. Right? So, meaning the simple pshat is not like Rabbeinu Tam. But it's interesting to note that Rabbeinu Tam and the Bahag do say this. Okay? We're not going to paskin like this. Okay?
I have a quick question.
Yeah?
What's the chronology of this Gemara?
The Gemara is like year like 300-400.
Okay.
Something like that.
And then compared
Rabbeinu to Tam, Rabbeinu Tam is the grandson of Rashi. So Rabbeinu Tam is like the 1200s.
Okay.
Okay? That's source number 6.
Okay.
Yeah. 7, the Balei Tosfos in general, like the grandchildren of Rashi at the time. So they're all like 1100s. Rashi dies in 11, 10, 1150 to 1105 or something like that.
Okay. So all the sources you're bringing are like
these are
showing later.
Yes, yes. No, okay. Thank you for asking. That's good. Yeah. So because basically there's a period called the Gaonim also. They don't mm-hmm. they do some writing, the Gaonim, but the main writing on the Gemara begins. The Gemara's closed at like year 300-400-500. And then between 500 and about 1,000, you don't have a lot there. You have the time of the Gaonim. And then, but once you hit the Rishonim, Rashi is like sort of the beginning, you have a flood of commentaries now on the Gemara, known as the Rishonim, right? So that's Rashi, Tosis, the Rush, the Rambam. And that goes until like the mid-14, early 1500s. And that's when you get to the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, etc. Those are all now Achronim. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like someone waved the towel and was like, okay, Rishonim's over, Achronim begins. You know, now it's over. But that's sort of how it goes.
Okay.
Fine.
Something.
72 minutes after Shkia, right? Ben Tam is nothing to sneeze at. Ben Tam is special. Well, let's keep going. Let's keep going. You'll see. Tosfos in source number 7, a different Tosfos, the Sudasa Acharisa Achilna. What is this idea of eating the next Suda? This is a different author. And Tosfos is not a person. Right, Tosafot is the Balei Tosafot, a group of people. So he quotes different people. They quote different people. So this is someone else. La b'sudasa shirigil lasos achas shachas v'achas arvis. So when I say, again, when Marukva says, I wait from one suda to the next, not the usual one, one in the morning, one at night. That's what they used to do. Right? In times of the Gemara, they had two meals. They'd have one like late morning and then like evening. That's what they would do. So this is not what it means, says the Tosafot. It doesn't mean your lunch and now your dinner. Rather, ela afilu la'alter, even immediately. La'alter means immediately. Im silek hashochan, if you took away the table, we know this from the Seder, right? Like basically means like removing the tablecloth. Ubirech, and you benched. Mutter, you can go ahead and eat milchiks, after fleshiks.
Who wanted to mess with this?
Okay, that basically after you go ahead, see I told you I'm gonna teach you something new here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that this is what I was trying to get you to say before. Sudasa acharisa just means the next meal. So in theory,
if I had
a meal and now I'm going to have the next meal and I just benched and it's time for the next meal, like happens like with kids, you know, like they're like teenagers. It's like time for the next meal, right? So like they don't wait three, four, five hours. They're ready again in 20 minutes. They want something to eat, right? So if you benched, finish the meal, go ahead and have milk.
Everybody walks around the house all night saying, am I still fascist?
Correct. Literally. Good. Right. And tell them you should be the Balei HaTosfos. Okay? Good. Okay. Now let's keep going. Take a look now at source number 8. This is the Rush. The Rush is like the mid-1200s. Okay? And the Rush writes, he talks about Rukva, now go which underlined. So Rukva said, I go from one meal to the next. Peirush, what does that mean? Bismanesh Ragil Adam Nisod. So the Rush says, whoa. What's the normal way to read this Gemara? Maruk ferment, if I had meat at one meal, I can have cheese at the next meal. My father waited 24 hours. I go meal to meal. What does that mean? That 2 seconds later, I would go to put some mouthwash in my mouth? That's not what it meant. It means the normal meals that people have, right? Dahainu mizman sudas haboker, adzman sudas haerif. My first meal to my next. Again, it's not breakfast to dinner. They had breakfast like at like 11 or whatever. They didn't have the hours of the day, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, fine. Azman Zerif, Upachos Mishir Ze Ein Lachok Vina Achar Basar. Right? And in less than amount of time, you can't, right? The Loeshkechan Mandashari Af Bahai Shiura Ela Mar Ukva, Vikakari Navshe Chala Bar Chamin. And how do I know you can't do less than this? Because Mar Ukva is the one who called himself vinegar to his father being wine, meaning Mar Ukva was saying, I'm the most lenient, right? He was like lamenting how lenient he is. Mm-hmm. We don't find anybody who says less than what Marukva says. So says the Rush, it's got to be sometime between the amount of time that's between the morning meal and the evening meal. How long is that? He doesn't tell us.
The stuff that they paskin on in the Gemara, is that what they personally kept? Or they began?
It's a great question, actually. It's a great question. Like, did the Balei HaTosfos actually wait, you know, that amount of time? That's actually a great question. I don't know.
They didn't have watches.
Like, did Rashi?
Days,
did Rashi
at the sun?
No, but that's
so
true.
No, but
Jenny's saying.
Their own opinion. Like, did Rashi just wash out his mouth?
Right. Jenny's saying. Well, Rashi didn't say. But wait. Again, go back. Rashi didn't say all you have to do is wash. You know, he didn't say wash it. But that was Tosfos who said that.
Right.
But I'm saying, but like Rashi says that you're worried about. And by the way, just keep in mind also another interesting, probably challenge on the opinion of Tosfos. What were we just saying before? What is the reason of waiting, or at least according to Rashi, maybe they would argue, the reason for waiting was because of one of two things.
Meat stuck.
There's a lot of taste, like hanging out in your mouth. Taste. So if I bench, now the taste is gone? Right, now that kind of doesn't really make sense. That's a very technical way to move from one to the next. But nevertheless, it's a good question. If they
Correct.
No, you're right. It's an interesting question. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Take a look at the Rambam's source of minutes. The Rambam now brings us with a much more clear explanation. You're right. Mishaacha basar betchil is the same Rambam I quoted short before. Bein basar behema, bein basar of, whether it is, you know, beef, whether it's, you know, poultry, whatever. Lo yocha acharav chalav achia benehen kedei shir suda acheres. You have to wait for the amount of time for the next meal. And how long is that? Vehu kimo sheish shaot.
That's it what is, you said before.
Right, it's the same
amount. About approximately.
But by the way, very, very interesting language.
Kimo.
This is not. We're talking about the Rambam.
Like.
The Rambam is very exacting.
Specific.
He's not like you should like. Daven like something like three times a day. Right? You should like sort of like maybe say this, you know, blow the shofar like kind of like this. That's not how the Rambam talks.
Like 133 times.
Right, the Rambam's like around 100 times. No, that's not what he said, right? It's really 30 times, but yeah, exactly. The Rambam is exacting, right? Typically in halacha, this is what you have to do. And the Rambam here says, kimo, like 6 hours. Very interesting language.
But he also gives reason. So if the reason is no longer relevant, then is the 6 hours still
available? Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That he said, don't come out.
Right, but if that is removed, then...
Typically the Rambam is not understood that way. That somehow you went and you flossed out all the meat.
Yes.
That doesn't usually do it.
But why not?
That's not that... Because he thinks...
I'll tell you why.
Because generally in halacha, this is a general concept, right? Generally in halacha, we say, and by the way, this works in both directions. I'll just tell you this, it's very interesting. I was talking to a psychologist I know recently about a question of an individual who was having trouble with keeping certain halachos and OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and which would be a big challenge, right? People with OCD, it's a very, I always say like, we should never say I'm so OCD. You should never say that. Because someone who really has OCD, it's terribly painful and difficult. So the person has a hard time with certain halachos and doing them over and over and over again. So he quoted to me, the psychologist who's an expert in OCD, said he spoke to Rabbi Neuberger. And Rabbi Neuberger said, halacha, there's two pieces of halacha. There is the thing you're expected to do, there's the action, and there's the outcome. The outcome.
Can you give me an example?
He says, I'll give you an example. One of the areas that some women have who have OCD have trouble with is preparing for the mikvah and making sure everything is off your body, and so you have no chatzitza when you go to the mikvah. And some, if you have OCD, you can be paralyzed and feel like you can never go. But maybe I missed something. So Rabbi Neuberger would say, your job is to do the action. Your job is to follow the things you're supposed to do. Cut your nails, all the things you're supposed to do. Your job is not to determine whether you're actually totally clean of any single, right? Chatzitza. Why? Because that would be impossible. Mm-hmm. The halacha doesn't ask you to do the impossible. It asks you to follow certain things, right? So you do the action. Whether the outcome happened or not, it's not your business. You don't have to worry about it. You just do the, actions, and the outcomes are beyond you at that point, okay? So why am I mentioning that here? Because it's sort of interesting. I think it's in a certain way, it's sort of the same thing in the opposite direction. What the Rambam is saying is, we tell you to wait 6 hours. Why? Because that way, in case there's any meat between your teeth, it'll all be gone. What about a person who waits 6 hours and the meat doesn't leave their teeth? It doesn't matter. You waited 6 hours.
Yeah.
You waited 6 hours. But by the way, in the opposite direction, because also, again, same thing. You'd be in the davar sof. You'd be stuck in a forever cycle of always worrying, right? So halacha says, wait this amount of time, and now you don't have to worry anymore. But maybe there's some meat.
That's okay.
I don't care. You waited 6 hours, you're good to go, mm-hmm. right? If that's true, it's also true in the opposite direction. I got all the meat out of my teeth. We don't do that. We don't say like, the reason is a general reason for this reason, but if the fact that you can find your way out, not necessarily, fine. Okay, fine. You like it or don't like it. Also, by the way, there's also Rashi.
Yeah.
And Rashi has a different reason because he's nervous that the taste is still there. But fine, but let's keep going. Oh, by the way, so Rabbi Simon told us once that his Rebbe, Rabbi Abadi, lived in, learned in the Lakewood Yeshiva. And the Lakewood Yeshiva, there wasn't a amount of, between, they had, you know, meals in the cafeteria, so chadarocho, whatever. They probably don't call it chadarocho, whatever they call it. lunch and dinner, basically after morning Seder and after afternoon Seder. Well, there wasn't 6 hours between the end of afternoon, morning Seder, end of lunch, and the beginning of dinner. So it was like 5 hours and whatever it was, 15 minutes, hours and 20 minutes.
Right? So they had carbs.
They had lunch, meat, and dinner, dairy. Kimo, sheshos. I'm looking
at
you.
Oh.
Okay? This is where this idea,
like, Minhagim
Brisk,
the timing of
and
the
Rav Aaron said that this was the Minhagim Brisk. And Brisk also, it was like, Kimo, which makes sense. The Briskers were very into the Rambam. Kimo, sheshos. This idea, you heard someone say, like, into the sixth hour. Right, this is kind of where this comes. 5 hours, 1 minute. This is where this idea comes from, because the language of the Rambam is Kemo Sheshos. Okay?
All Chabadniks keep 5 and something hours?
I don't know what Chabadniks do. But this is in Lakewood. So I don't know. But I don't know what Chabadniks do. But okay. Take a look. Not every person who lives in Lakewood keeps into the sixth. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying to you is that this idea of the sixth hour having flexibility comes from the language of this Rambam. Kemo Sheshos. Okay, take a look at the Meiri. What?
I just said you have to be so careful what you say. I was like, you know, like 6 hours, and I was like, oh my God.
By the way, he was so careful with what he said, and that's in the Briskers. They will do surgery on every language, every word in the Rambam, and some attack them for that. But they do. They take the Rambam. The Rambam was very, very exacting in his language. So the language of Kimo is real, right? It's not just whatever he said. It he meant it. Kimo. And by the way, it makes sense because the Gemara doesn't say an exact amount of time.
Yeah.
Doesn't give an exact amount.
It doesn't
of time.
Like handcuff you to this.
It does not.
Arbitrary
it does not. Exactly. Exactly. Fine. 10?
Me'iri.
10.
Yeah, fine. Just tailor the mirror.
You don't want
that. No, it's fine.
Exactly.
No. I just want. I'm being careful about time. I want to. What? No, it's great. We don't usually do this. That's that was a nice idea. Okay, I'm glad that we're laughing. Says the miris so far. Says the miris. Source number 10. Achilas basar achar gvina o gvina achar basar yesh ba machlokas ben aposim. Eating meat after milk and milk it's a machlokas. It's all about machlokas. All about this one line, Marukva's line, right? Suda l'suda. What does it mean? What is our misora? Says the Meiri. He sheim acha baser behema eino ochel achar kach kavina afila bikinu achapeh uben tila sedayim. Right? He goes, if we eat meat, we don't eat milchaks. Even if I wash my mouth, even if I wash my hands. Who's he attacking? He's attacking that Shita and Tosfos, right? He's saying it's not, we don't follow that. I know you're thinking, he says, you read Rabbeinu Tam. Don't listen to Rabbeinu Tam, right? Achiyavor Sheshaos, 6 hours. Who Shior B'Shebein Sudan L'Sudan. And that's the amount of time between one meal and the next. Okay? This is the idea, yeah?
Was he later than
the base of the Erie is like 1400s.
And Rambam was?
He's around the same time as the Rambam. Oh, the Rambam's, okay. Rambam's, no, he's after the Rambam. The Rambam's like 1200s.
Right, okay.
Yes, good. Okay, so that's how you get 6 hours. But you're going to tell me, but Rambam is not just the shiur of 6 hours. We have other shiurim also, right? People from Holland keep 1 hour. Where does it come from? It comes from source number 12, which is very big. So I'm going to tell you what the Pirchadar says. I'll tell you what he says outside. He writes, the minig of 1 hour comes from the Zohar. The Zohar writes that if you eat milk and meat in the same hour, or in one meal, the same meal, in 40 days, something bad will happen to you. That's what Zohar writes. But the language the Zohar uses is Shah Achas, 1 hour. And therefore, you see from the Zohar, what's the concern? The concern is within the same hour. But if it's not within the same hour, you don't have to worry.
Doesn't that mean at the same time? Not necessarily within the same hour.
He means it to mean, he says if it's a Suda Achas or within the same hour. So he makes that distinction. So that's why it's only one hour. So the Pichadosh quotes this idea, and this is where some people get this idea of 1 hour comes from. This minug in Amsterdam, Holland, right? They have this minug of waiting 1 hour, which, by the way, remember, it's not just the Zohar that says 1 hour. They're also in line with Rabbeinu Tam and the other Balei Tosfos who all said just one meal to the next, right? As long as you benched and finished the meal, you're good also, right?
How
so those
they
ideas.
Wind up taking that, though?
What?
How did they wind up breaking and taking that, and then we all?
How did they get it? I don't know how they chaffed that one.
Like, I'm saying, how do you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the historical context. Yeah, I don't know how the historical context was that the people in Holland, people specific. Also, you have very few minhagim that are specific to Holland.
Yes,
right. Right. So I'm saying, like, how did
very unusual.
Germany,
well, right, even
Dutch Jews came from Spain, right? Dutch Jews were not indigenous to
the German family. They're not indigenous. No one's indigenous. No Jews are indigenous to. I don't know. That's a good question. Okay, so what about? But we have to get to three. What's three?
Right.
We're just gonna run out of time. I don't want to keep you too
Portuguese.
Late.
Portuguese.
Yes.
What happens between milk and meat? In other words, I know people who will go to show on Shavuos, come home, have cheesecake, maybe.
Yes. So why don't we care?
And then how long do they wait? But then they don't consider that a Suda.
Good. So they so the rule is, as long as it's not aged hard cheese, you don't have to wait at all. You just have to wash out your mouth, and you should wash your hands. As long as you wash out your mouth, you're okay. So there you go, want to brush your teeth or whatever. We assume that cheese, that regular dairy doesn't linger as much as meat does.
But the hard stuff is the hard.
Yeah, the hard stuff is the mess. There's a whole list. You want to find the hard, which it is, you go on the OU, Google the OU. What a hard cheese, you have to wait for 6 hours, they'll tell you a list of all the different cheese, cheddar cheeses.
So that is a thing, the 6 hours of hard cheese? I heard that recently and I never heard that
and it's
before.
And the hard cheese is for the same reason. Because the hard cheese, apparently, I don't like cheese, but hard cheese apparently lingers in your mouth much more than the cheese.
So that's
a
Parmesan is a hard cheese.
Yes.
Isn't
that
Parmesan?
Right.
When you're cooking a lot of dairy, if you, the post-game assumed that if you cook like Parmesan cheese, like into a sauce, you don't have to wait 6 hours. Now you don't have to wait. But if you eat it,
you're
ready.
Sprinkling it and I'm not counted as dairy, right?
It's the same thing.
But yeah, but that's okay.
Okay, but we have to keep moving.
I don't like these little loopholes.
You have to keep moving.
What?
You don't like to. You don't want. You want hummus. I'll give you hummus. Okay, but I want to give you 3 hours and then I want to give you a couple of kulas. 3 hours and a couple of kulas before we leave, okay? What's 3 hours? So the Sefer Mizmor LeDavid quotes the Brichadash, but he says the following. Very reasonable argument. He says, in the times of the Gemara, when you had lunch and dinner, did not depend on the hour of the day. It depended on sunrise and sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in the winter, so right, dinner was very early. Right, it could be 4 o'clock. You could have dinner. You could have had lunch at 1 o'clock. Okay? And he basically says, we say suda la suda, you have to take you find the shortest amount of time that ever that would typically take place. And then it gets standardized. Once you tell me it's okay from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, whatever, something like that, right? Don't tell me now that in the summer, like what the meat and cheese thing changes all of a sudden. That can't be, right? So he wants to argue that if you take the shortest amount of time, and that amount of time was about 3 hours, so then, even when the day is a longer day, it's also only 3 hours, okay? And so Rabbi Yerucham in the Sefer Yisrael Heter also writes that this idea of 3 hours, that's where that comes from. And some have taken this on. I mean, the most famous is those who have taken on this minhag is the Yekkes, the German Jews. They have this very, very strong minhag that they wait 3 hours and that's their minhag. That's where that comes from. Fine. But it's a reasonable, again, part of the reason I like learning it inside is because now you have understanding why it makes sense. It's not crazy, not like, what do you mean 3 hours? The halacha is 6 hours, excuse me. The halacha is misuda lasuda. And how you define that? And if you, right, now all of a sudden, no one makes perfect sense and nobody's crazy, right? Correct, and if you learn the Gemara, it gives you a different approach. Fine. So, fine. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch on source number 13, I'll just show you what happens. And this is why we do what we do. Shulchan Aruch on source number 13. It says the following. Achal basar afilu shalchaya va'of lo yochal gvina acharav at sheyisha sheshos. If you eat meat, you don't eat milk for another 6 hours. Afilu im shalkashir, if you waited long enough, im yesh basar ben ashinayim tzarech la'asiro. If you waited all that time and there's still meat, got to take the meat out. Doesn't say the opposite, but if you take it out.
Right.
Okay, fine. Valoi say tinok, fine. But then, look where it's underlined. And this is the Rambam. So that was the Machaber. The Machaber is of Yosef Karo, who's Sephardi, right? Yosef Karo, lived in Tzfat. And now the Rambam. Moshe Ishtalis, Ashkenazi, where it's underlined and italicized. V'yesh omrim, de'ein tzichel nahamtun sheshaos. Rak miyad im silek ha'ubirech birchas ha'mazon mutter al yedei kinuach v'adacha. So some say, just bench and wash your hands and brush your teeth. V'aminag ha-pasha b'dinas elu, laham dim na'achar achilas basar sha'achas. And the minag in our medina, he says it's to wait.
1 hour.
1 hour. V'ochel na'achar kach givin na'am. Then you can eat cheese. So far he's quoted Tosfos, and now he quoted this opinion of 1 hour, the Zohar. Okay? But then he writes, all the way in the bottom, V'yesh medaktikim lahamtin sheish sha'os. There are those who are careful to wait 6 hours, achar achilas basar l'givina, v'chein nachon lasos. And that is the right thing to do. Okay. So, but I just, it's important to know that if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes, basically, the one opinion he doesn't quote is 3 hours. He doesn't quote that anywhere, actually. But it's again, very strong Yakut Sheminog for those other minog. But the point is that there are those, the Shach also writes in source number 14, anybody who has Kol Sheyesh Baruach HaTorah should wait 6 hours, fine. But the point is that, and I think this is what's most important, I don't think I showed you anything astonishing about the amounts, the different shittos. Maybe the just washing your mouth out, etc. But 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, you've heard of before. But the point is that Shulchan Aruch actually quotes all of them. And it's important to know that. So for example, I had a person who was very sick who called me with a shayla. They had eaten fleishiks, and then they realized there was a certain medication they were supposed to take, and they were actually very weak, and they needed to take like an Ensure. Right? Ensure's dairy. Can they do that? So I said, yeah. I said, can you wait an hour? I said, yeah, I can wait an hour. I said, just wait an hour and then take the Ensure. Or if you couldn't, wash your mouth, you know, and go ahead and drink the Ensure, right? Bench and drink the Ensure, right? So like meaning there are scenarios where these other shittos come into play, right? And by the way, sometimes people are getting used to the halacha. They've never waited between meat and milk before. So I said, no problem. So why don't you start by waiting 1 hour? And then after a few months, start waiting 3 hours. And after a few months, start waiting 6 hours. Right? Meaning like as your person's progressing in their avodas Hashem. Right?
But like also maybe like with kids.
So I'll tell you what I tell kids. I tell kids, this is what we do. This I learned from my sister-in-law taught me this. This is what I do. For our kids, we did. And you go up by the grade that you're in.
Is how long it is.
So in first grade you wait 1 hour, and second next year I wait 5 hours. But like it's cute. Like as you, but I think it's actually very
11 hours.
But it ends after sixth grade. But it's a good way to like to be machan. I thought it's actually a very nice way to like build them up. But again, same thing. Like especially for little children. You know, even a little older children who are having trouble with this one, right? Maybe a teenager is having trouble with this. Okay, so you know what? Don't wait six. It makes them crazy. I'm not waiting six. Da, da, da. Fine, so wait three or wait one or wait whatever. Like, there's a lot of flexibility in here, mm-hmm. right? Again, I think as adults who are you know, ourselves from people, we should keep whatever our minhag is. If our minhag is three, we should keep three. If our minhag is six, we should keep six. You should do what the minhag is for your family. If you're not from Germany, I don't think you can become Take German you. For this one, but it's also important to know that like there is a range of opinions, and when you know where the opinions come from, you become less judgy, right? You become a lot more open-minded and understanding of other people, which I think is important also. And so I think that as we're going to find ourselves now in Shavuos and people are doing all kinds of things, I would encourage you, if people come in to stay up all night, serve milk on Friday, the night of Shavuos night. I'm kidding. Whatever you want to do, but the more that we again understand where these halachos come from, we find ourselves having a much better angle to manage different opinions and different approaches. Which I think, in the end of the day, is actually what Shavuos is all about, right? We show ourselves up. We show up at our Sinai, like Yishtecha B'Leivecha, the only time in all of human history when Am Yisrael is unified. But why is that? Because that's what Am Yisrael needs. To be Mekabel Torah, we don't just need learning.
They didn't know yet that they couldn't.
They didn't know anything about it, right? But to be Mekabel Torah, you don't just need loving Torah. You need loving each other. You need loving Jews. And when we love each other, when we have Achdus, when we have Ben Am L'Chaveiro, when we have Chesed, that's why we read Rus on Shavuos. Rus has nothing to do with Torah. It's only about Chesed. Because the two go together. You can't have one without the other. Having Torah without tolerance and understanding and love for each other doesn't take us anywhere. And so if we have that, if we have the Kiyishtecha B'Leivachad, so then we can accept Torah, then we can live Torah, and then we can live our own Torah and our own values and our own approach to halacha without needing to judge somebody else, because we probably find some opening to understand them a little bit better. And then Bezer Hashem will have a kosher Shavuos, but also a kosher one that involves Achdus and love of other Jews. Have a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov.